The Pentagon has already been chasing lower costs through Secretary Robert Gates' much-touted efficiency initiative and in acquisitions specifically through Carter's Better Buying Power initiative. But President Obama upped the ante with his deficit reduction speech last week, saying he wanted to see $400 billion in savings in national security spending over the next dozen years.
As we assess how to accomplish the task the president has laid out, we will need to undertake a comprehensive review of the impact of budget reductions in fiscal year 13 and beyond on force structure and capability, and ultimately on choices about missions and America's role in the world.
Carter says Secretary Gates is still setting the parameters for that review, but he says two things are clear already.
Whatever the budget levels are, this will feel very different to a group of government and industry managers and congressional overseers who have grown accustomed to a circumstance in which they could always reach for more money when they encountered a managerial or technical problem or a difficult choice. Those days are gone. The second thing that's absolutely clear is that the President, the Secretary of Defense, and the taxpayer are going to expect us to make every dollar we do get count.
Carter told an audience at the Heritage Foundation that there will undoubtedly be more cancellations of major weapon systems, possibly as soon as the 2013 budget cycle. But he cautioned that in terms of those big acquisitions, DOD's getting to the point where most of their active buying programs are for capabilities they truly do need.
And we need to get them for the money the country can afford to give us.
But in response to questions from reporters looking for more details on weapon system cuts, Carter said there's a lot more to the DOD budget than ships and tanks.
While that's an important part of seeking economies, it is only a piece of the defense budget. And so what I was trying to do is draw people's attention to the other 6/7 of the defense budget, other than that, which is tied up in programs. It's very easy to pick programs because they all have a name and they're discrete, and so they're easy to under-identify, they're easy to write about. But it's not where the money is.
He says one area where the money is in services acquisition. In fact, he says the Pentagon spends roughly twice as much money on service contracts as it does on procurement of major defense systems. Improving a tradecraft in DOD's service acquisition process is one of the five focus areas in DOD's Better Buying Power initiative, and an area Carter says is ripe for savings.
There are many ingredients that go into the improving tradecraft in services, and they are frequency of recompete, market surveys, knowing how to specify requirements properly, and so forth. There is a textbook of good tradecraft in services acquisition. We just don't follow it. If you look at how we acquire services around the department, everybody does it differently. Not everybody can be right.
One reason there are so many different ways of doing service contracting, Carter says, is that most of the people doing it are not acquisition professionals, per se, but rather people in other areas of DOD who need small service contracts to help them get their jobs done.
Acquisition of services is a collateral duty for them. It's not surprising they're not very good at it. And I do not intend to make them into experts at it. I intend to help them get better at it. I believe mostly because we haven't done that yet, that we will be able to realize some great productivity in the acquisition of services.
Other ways Carter says DOD is trying to get more goods and services without more money include designing contracts that incentivize vendors to be more productive, including a new DOD-wide Superior Supplier Incentive Program to recognize vendors who deliver value.
What they get will be post-award. This will not figure in source selection. It will figure in things like performance payments, in addition to the simple non-material recognition that goes with having done a good job and being recognized as a good job. And by implication, those who are not on the list are not doing what we're asking them to do.
And DOD has already started moving to cut down on bureaucratic processes that don't have any clear value, including excessive paperwork burdens on its vendors. He says not only do the costs of that paperwork end up being borne by DOD in the end.
Secondly, it is a barrier to entry for those who don't do defense work, whom we want to do defense work. And we're constantly trying to renew and refresh the defense industry with new faces, new talent, new technology, and so forth. It's important that we have an open defense system that is attractive and isn't so exotic to sell to that companies, particularly small companies, can't do it.
Carter says increased competition in the defense industry marketplace is DOD's biggest lever for cost savings. He's ordered all of DOD's program managers to develop competition plans for their programs. And even though he anticipates more of those large weapons systems will be canceled, the focus now is on making sure the big programs they start are affordable from the beginning. He says that strategy has already been applied to the acquisition programs for a new Air Force tanker, the Army's ground combat vehicle, and it's in the works now for the Navy's replacement for the Ohio-class ballistic missile submarine.
When that design was first made and brought to me, the projected unit cost was about $7 billion per submarine, which, were we to pay that in the period between 2020 and 2030, would displace most Navy shipbuilding. Or, said differently, that's not happening. So we're not going to start something that is so obviously not going to happen.
Carter says DOD hasn't yet been told precisely how much the president expects the military to contribute toward deficit reduction, although its budget clearly makes up most of that $400 billion savings target. And he says it's clear that after a decade of steady budget growth, some fat has crept into defense spending.
So I think we can succeed, and I would also say to those who hesitate to go down this road that they should need to consider the alternative. And the alternative is broken programs, canceled programs, budget turbulence, uncertainty, erosion of the taxpayers' confidence that their defense dollar is well spent, and of course, ultimately and most damagingly, foregone capability.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.